الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وحده لا شريك له، ولا نظير له، ولا ند له، ولا ضد له، ولا مثل له، ولا مثال له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمد محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق، وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: مفتاح الجنة الصلاة، ومفتاح الصلاة الطهور. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
My respected elders and brothers, there's one beautiful dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma inni as'aluka tamam al-wudu wa tamam as-salah wa tamam ridwanik wa tamam maghfiratik. Oh Allah, bless me with a perfect wudu, a perfect salah, your complete forgiveness and your complete pleasure. Beautiful dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama ikram see, like the Quran Sharif is a mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that will remain till the day of Qiyam. The du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are also a mu'jiza, also a miracle that will remain till the day of Qiyamah. So in this beautiful du'a, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking about this aspect of wudu, which we make every day, many times in a day, sometimes five, sometimes maybe more than five times a day a person is making his wudu. And with regards to this wudu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came down from the skies and he kicked the floor. When he kicked the floor, there was a fountain that gushed out of the floor. And from that fountain, Jibreel alayhi salam showed me how to make wudu. He showed me this is how the wudu is done. And I learned how to make wudu from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I learned how to make wudu from Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter taught this wudu to the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu. On occasions, you would find Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was the Amirul Mu'mineen and the Khalifa, then on the Friday minbar, when delivering the khutbah, he would explain how the wudu must be done. That this is how you wash your face, and this is how you wash your hands till the elbows, and this is how the feet must be washed. And he would say, "Hakaza ra'itu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yatawadda." This is how I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making wudu. Now imagine Khalifa, and imagine the Jummah khutbah, and on the minbar, but he feels the need to explain how the wudu needs to be done. Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu explained, they say, we used to see Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he'll come in a marketplace, he'll stop all the business, he'll call everybody, he'll take a jug, and he'll sit down and he'll say, see and watch how I'm making wudu, and learn how to make wudu from how I'm making, because I learned to make wudu from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. And he would call all the customers and call all the shopkeepers, and make everybody sit and watch how the wudu is done. Why the need is, because at times a person, he's making wudu, but if his wudu is incorrect, his salah is incorrect. So if a person made the wudu and he didn't do his wudu properly, then that wudu is incorrect and the salah is then incorrect. Sometimes a person is washing his hands, but he's not washing his elbows correctly. The elbows are left dry. If the elbows are left dry, he missed out a farz of wudu. And if that farz of wudu is missed out, his salah is incorrect. So the importance of us also going sometimes to some ulama, asking them, just check my wudu for me, see if I'm making any mistakes, if I'm doing it right, because I don't want that my wudu is wrong and my salah is wrong. I'm coming to the masjid, I'm reading my salah, but if there's a mistake in my wudu, and my wudu is left out, one faraz of wudu is left out, then my salah is incorrect. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Miftahul jannati as-salah. The key to jannat is salah. Wa miftahu salati at-tahur. And the key to salah is wudu. If your wudu is right, then your salah will be right. That is why ulama, they place so much of emphasis in a maktab, when you're teaching the children in a madrasa. One of the most important subjects that is taught in a maktab together with Quran Sharif is how to make wudu properly, how to read salah correctly. So the child grows up with this. His wudu is right. Ustad will take every child to the wudu khana and show him exactly how the wudu is done. And the child must perform that wudu in front of the ustad. And exams will be taken of the children's wudu in front of external examiners to see that the wudu is done correctly and properly. So this is how important wudu is in the life of a Muslim. You see that Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu anhum, they also teaching, and we must also make this intention inshallah, that we will also learn and we will also do our wudu correctly. One day when Sahabi is washing his feet, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed that the heels were dry, the heels were left dry. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to him, وَيْلٌ لِلْعَقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Destruction to the heels that will go to the fire of hell. So the Sahabi was shocked, why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this to wash this here is faraz in wudu. And you have left out this faraz of wudu. You didn't wash your heels correctly and properly. وَيْلٌ لِلْعَقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. So the importance of doing our wudu correctly and properly. Recently in the Lodge Grove, Ghusal Khana, there was an incident took place when lady passed away, and while they're making the ghusal, they realize on her nails, she's got some nail polish that is there. They can't remove that. And if the nail polish on the nails and you're making wudu, your wudu is incorrect. You can't have wudu. How is the ghusal of this lady going to be done? So it was a masla, they phoned up to find out. It was told that it has to be removed. To make that ghusal of that mayat, that nail polish has to be removed from the nails. Eventually, they had to get in contact with some lady, some kafira lady, disbelieving woman who had to come there. Normally, we don't even want a person, the state of impurity to be there in front of the mayat. You had to get a non-Muslim lady to come there and remove that so the ghusal could be done correctly and properly. So these are important things you must keep in mind. Some lady likes to put too much of makeup and now she's washing her face, but is the water touching her face or is it touching the makeup? This will now depend on whether her wudu is right for her salah to be correct. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Destruction to those heels that will go into the fire of hell, not being washed correctly and properly. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us some beautiful du'as whilst making wudu. There's three that are mentioned in a hadith. The first du'a is before you make your wudu. Bismillah walhamdulillah. Simple du'a. Bismillah we all know. Alhamdulillah, we all know. We just join the two, Bismillah, put a wow in between, Bismillah, walhamdulillah. And a person who reads this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person before making wudu, he reads this dua, Bismillah, walhamdulillah. Allah ta'ala commands the malaika, who are writing his nama'i amal, kiram and katibin, who are writing down our good deeds. That as long as this man has kept his wudu, you carry on writing good deeds in his book of nama'i amal. In his good deeds, keep on writing. So if he kept his wudu for 5 hours, for 5 hours, those malaika are just writing. Carry on writing good deeds, nekis in his good book of good deeds. Just because he read before he started his wuzu, Bismillah walhamdulillah. Simple dua. Then whilst making wuzu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a dua. Allahumma ghafir li dhambi, wa wasi' li fi dari, wa barik li fi rizqi. Now the beautiful dua. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. Give me expansion in my home. And Allah, give me barakat in my risk and in my sustenance. Everyone is looking for barakat in our risk and our sustenance. In this dua that we are making at the time of wuzu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with barakat in our risk and in our sustenance. And then at the completion of the wuzu, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabin wa ja'alni min al-mutatahhirin. Simple, easy dua which the children learn in a maktab, which we may have learnt in a maktab as well. We maybe have to polish it up. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that if you read this dua at the completion of your wuzu, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when you're entering into Jannah, Allah will open all 8 doors of Jannah. Jannah has 8 doors. Jahannam has 7 doors. For each door of Jannah is for different people. For a person who fasts in Ramadan, there's one door called Rayyan. He'll enter from that door. But for a person who reads this dua after wuzu, Then there's no one door that's open for him. Allah flings all 8 doors open for him. Enter from whichever door you want. Enter from whichever door of Jannah you want to enter, because we used to read this dua afterwards. So simple a'mal that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in the hadith. If you just do it, little bit dhyan, little bit of attention, we practice on this, so much of sawab and so much of reward that is kept for us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us making wudu, use a miswak. Use a miswak and make wudu. The reward of your salah that you'll read thereafter will be multiplied by 70. So one is a person who made wudu without a miswak, and then he read salah, he'll get one reward. And a person who made miswak in his wudu and then he read salah, he will get the reward of 70 salah. So simple this thing is. It's like a person who's working at the end of the month or at the end of the week, he goes to his boss. His boss tells him, see, I promised you I'll give you 1,000 rand, but I have in this hand here, in my left hand, I got 70,000 rand. I've got 1,000 rand in one hand and 70,000 rand in the other hand. It's your choice. You take whichever packet you want. You take whichever bag you want, the 1,000 or the 70,000. So we'll all jump for the 70,000 because we know the value of rands and cents. But wallahi, if only we knew the reward of sawab and we knew the value of sawab, none of us will make a wuzu without using a miswak. That's why ulama kiram, they teach us, keep on miswak in your pocket. So wherever you're going, you know you got your miswak with you. It's a time of wudu, you just take your miswak out and you use your miswak. Or at the place where you make wudu at home, you got your miswak that's kept there, you make your wudu, you make your miswak, and then you perform salah, your namaz is multiplied by 70. So much more reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing us. Hazrat Maulana Siddiq Banvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, 1996, he came here to South Africa. Hazrat Maulana was a very great buzurg. In his bayan, in his nasihat, he mentioned beautiful thing. He said, when you're building your house, when you're building your home, build one wuzu khana in your house. Build one wuzu khana in your house, easy for you to make wudu, and easy for you to read the du'as. See, sometimes we're making wudu in the toilet. We got a sink in the toilet, we can't read the du'as in the toilet because we can't take Allah's name in the toilet. But if you build one nice wuzu khana for yourself, and you sit there and you make, how long are we going to pick our legs up in the sink? Sometimes the old ladies, they've gone quite old now. It's difficult for them every time pick their leg up in the sink. You could build a nice wuzu khana in your house. We're building everything in the house. Every big rooms, bathrooms, everything else we put in there. One wuzu khana seat, nice wuzu khana. Comfortably we can make a wudu at the time of salah. And the ladies also can use that. We don't have to pick our feet up every time into the sink and make wudu. We're getting old. We can't do this anymore. So we have this. So Maulana gave this in his bayan. He said, one thing, when you're building your house, build one wuzu khana. Nice wuzu khana, easy for you to make wudu. And the second thing, build one namaz room. One small namaz room, not for us, we must come masjid and read, but for the ladies. They can read, they got one place where they're reading salah. In seclusion, they can perform their salah, make the ibadah. And you, when you wake up for tahajjud, you can read your tahajjud salah in that namaz room of yours also. So you see, in our house, we make our house like a masjid also. And we got the mahal of the masjid in our homes. So Hazrat Maulana's advice about this wuzu khana, building a wuzu khana, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in one hadith, he says, when a person makes wudu, as he washes his face, then all the sins he committed with his eyes, with his tongue, with his nose, all that is washed away. When he washes his hands, the sins that he committed with his hands is washed away. When he washes his feet, the sins he committed with his feet are washed away. Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, this incident mentioned in a Fazaili Amal, says Imam Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, Allah blessed him with the power of kashf, divine inspiration. When he would sit in a wuzu khana and make wudu, he could actually see the people, hey, this man, this is the gunaz, is washing off from his limbs. He could actually see what sins this person is committing. Then he made dua to Allah, tell Allah, take this power away from me. I don't want to see the gunaz of people. I don't want to see the sins of people. But he could actually see those sins being washed away. As a person is making wudu, he's making wudu in this manner. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that on the day of Qiyamah, when all the people will be assembled, people from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam's time, right to the day of Qiyamah, all kinds of people will be assembled. Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhu asked, Ya Rasulullah, when all the people are there, how you'll recognize us? Billions of people, billions and billions and trillions of people, how are you going to recognize us on the day of Qiyamah? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, Ghurram muhajjaleen, these were the words that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used. He said that your limbs, the limbs that you used to wash in wudu will be shining on the day of Qiyamah. Your face, your hands, your head, your feet, etc. These limbs will be shining and easily I'll be able to just distinguish, this is my ummati, this is my ummati, this is my ummati. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will stand as a witness for us on the day of Qiyamah. Through the barakat of the wudu that we make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make our limbs shine on the day of Qiyamah. It is mentioned in one hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, Al-wudu silahul mu'min, that wudu is a protection of a believer. A person who stays in a state of wudu, then that person is in Allah's protection. Then he is in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he doesn't need an additional security, because Allah ta'ala is now his security. Allah is protecting him. He's in the state of wudu. There's one incident about one great buzurg in India. His name was Mullah Jeewan Rahmatullah. He wrote one kitab, Nurul Anwar, which the ulama study in the fourth year of the Alim course. So he wrote one kitab. He was a great Alim. And he lived in the time of the great Mughal King Shah Jahan. Now Shah Jahan's son was Alamgir. And he was a great alim, he was a great mufti, and he was a king as well. But whilst he was young, he was studying by this Mullah Jeewan. And one day the king Shah Jahan, he passed some ruling, but this ruling was against Islam, against the Sharia. So ulama can't keep quiet, they have to explain now what's wrong is wrong. So this Mullah Jeewan Rahmatullah Ali, he stood up and he explained what the king said is wrong. This is against the Sharia, it's against Islam. We can't follow this, what the king is saying. So king got very upset. Immediately he called the armies. He said, arrest this man. Arrest this man. He's speaking out against the king, arrest him. So Mullah Jeewan, when he heard this, he said, I got nothing to worry about. He went to the wudu khana, he made wudu. And he says, now I'm in Allah's protection. Now the king's grandfather can try what he wants. No one can touch me because I'm in wudu, I'm in Allah's protection. So Alamgir, who was studying there, he's the prince now, he's studying by Mullah Jeewan. He saw this man is Allah wala. Allah wala, you can't play with Allah wala. Because why? Allah Ta'ala is on his side. Allah Pak is on his side. Allah is protecting him. He sent a message to his father immediately. Abba, if you know what's good for you, just call your armies back. Just call your armies. Immediately the armies were called back and this person was safe. So a person wants to be in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simple way, we stay in the state of wudu. Ulama say even people who are suffering from all kinds of asarat, jadu, jinnat problem, easy thing, stay in the state of wudu. You're going to sleep in the state of wudu. You wake up in the morning, stay in the state of wudu. In the state of wudu, Allah will protect you. Allah Ta'ala will say, silahul mu'min, this is the protection of a mu'min. Person stays in the state of wudu. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were many sahaba ikiram radiallahu anhu, they were very close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One sahabi in particular was Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu. He was the muazzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was the finance minister of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him too much, because the sacrifice that he underwent for Islam, for the sake of Tawheed, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had one dream, and in this dream he sees himself in Jannah. And in Jannah, he can hear the footsteps of Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu ahead of him in Jannah. So after Fajr Salah, he called Hazrat Bilal. He says, oh Bilal, last night I had a dream. And I hear your footsteps ahead of me in Jannah. Bilal, what is it that you are doing? What amal are you doing that gives you such a maqam in such a position? So Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu's reply was, Ya Rasulullah, I have this habit, I always stay in wudu. I always stay in wudu, and whenever my wudu breaks, I will make a new wudu, and I'll read 2 rakats tahiyatul wudu. 2 rakats tahiyatul wuzu, I will make this niyat and I'll perform this 2 rakats tahiyatul wuzu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very happy. He said, keep up to this practice. Oh Bilal, keep up with this practice. This is what has earned you your Jannah. This is what, and so simple for us also. 2 rakats tahiyatul wuzu. We're coming into the masjid, we make our wudu. When we come into the masjid, we read 2 rakats tahiyatul wuzu. Better is to make wudu at home. Person make wudu at home is even better. Why is the masjid wudu khana is at the time of emergency if a person's wudu broke. But better for us, we make a wudu at home and then we come. Person who makes wudu at home and then comes to the masjid, he's like a person who's in ihram, who's going for hajj, who's reading labbaik and he's going. So we try and inculcate this habit of making wudu at home. So this was the practice of Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu. Every time he made wudu, he would read 2 rakats tahiyatul wudu. Few years ago when we went in Jamaat to Cape Town, so at the Shab Guzari, Maulana Jinnah Sahib from Kimberley was giving a bayan. So in the bayan he was mentioning one masjid he went, so he saw on the door of the masjid 9 steps of washing hands. 9 steps of washing hands, and you wash like this and wash like this and like this. 9 steps. So when I said, I was thinking to myself that for a Muslim you need to teach him about washing hands. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, when you wake up in the morning, first thing you do, you wash your hands. A Muslim who's making wudu, before we start the wudu, 3 times we're washing our hands. 3 times we're sanitizing, washing our hands. 3 times before we start our wudu, we're washing our hands. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, you go to the toilet, you come out of the toilet, wash your hands. A kafir hadn't even learned this as yet. that he must wash his hands when he come out from the toilet. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that when you're eating, before eat, wash your hands, don't wipe it. After eating, wash your hands, now wipe it. Look at the detail in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why if a person just holds on to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we'll never go astray. Whatever knowledge we need to know, whatever guidance we need, we'll get it in the Quran and the sunnah. On the day of Arafat, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this in his khutbah. Taraktu fikum amrayn, I left two things for you. Lan tudhillu ma tamassaktum bihima. As long as you hold on to these two things, you'll never go astray. Kitabullah wa sunnati. The kitab of Allah and the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As long as we hold on to this, we'll never go astray. So all these benefits of for a person who makes wuzu. So I'll just end on this one thing. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that a person who sleeps in a state of wudu, then there's so many benefits for us. Now it's winter time, so it's a bit more difficult to make wudu in the cold. But the Hadith Sharif says, "Isbaghul wudu ala al-makari," that a person who makes wudu with difficulty when it's hard to make wudu, it's difficult, then the sawab is even more. The sawab and the reward is even more. Last year, Istima was in Newcastle, very cold winters. And in the winters, people are coming outside making wudu. The sawab is too great, too much of sawab. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I saw the malaika rushing from the skies, coming down. So I asked Allah Ta'ala, what are the malaika rushing for? There's many things, but one of the things is saying they're rushing down for the sawab of those people who are making wudu in difficulty, in hardship. They're making wudu, so they're rushing to take that sawab up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking about this. Well, one translation of isbagh. One translation of isbagh is to rub. Like sometimes there's dry skin on the feet, on the heels, etc. So when you just put your leg under the tap, but one is to rub it. To rub it, that is also part of isbagh. One explanation that the Muaddisin explain is to rub those dry places also. Person is rubbing it. So here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that you're making wudu and you're going to sleep. So there's three or four virtues that are mentioned in the hadith. One is that a person who makes wuzu and goes to sleep, then for the entire night Allah deputes an angel to look after him. That angel is watching him, is protecting him. No shaitan, no one can trouble him in that condition. And every time he moves from side to side, that angel is making dua for him. Allah maghfir lahu, Allah forgive this man, Allah forgive this man. The angel is deputed to look after you for the entire night. And that angel the whole night is making dua for that person who sleeps in the state of wudu. The second benefit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says is that a person who sleeps in the state of wudu, Allah Ta'ala gives him the reward of staying awake for the whole night in ibadat. Where me and you can stay awake the whole night in ibadat. But wudu, if we make and go to sleep, Allah gives us the reward of staying awake the whole night in ibadat. The third benefit is that when a person sleeps, his ruh leaves his body. That's why we say, Allahumma bi ismika amutu. Amutu means I'm dying. So our ruh leaves us. But that person who sleeps in the state of wudu, his ruh goes straight up the arsh of Allah. And he remains in the condition of sajda for the whole night till he wakes up. Till he wakes up the whole night, it remains in the state of sajda in front of the arsh of Allah. Tabarak wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if this person passes away in that night, he dies as a shaheed. He dies as a shaheed, as a martyr in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A simple amal of making wudu and going to sleep at night. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq inshallah. Simple amal like wudu, to practice it, to do it correctly, to make sure we're doing it correctly. So much of sawab, so much of reward in this simple kitab, Ta'limul Haqq. We all studied it, everybody learnt it, everybody went through this. You see the qabuliyat in this kitab. So Chota Mota from Amzin to Rahmatullah Ali Marhum, he wrote the kitab. He wasn't an alim, he wasn't hafiz. But so much acceptance this kitab. All over the world people, every maktab they're teaching this kitab. Everybody is learning from this kitab. So one day Marhum Qari Sahab from Amzinto, he was just mentioning to us and he said, my father never wrote anything in this book without wudu. When he was writing this kitab, every bit of this kitab that he wrote it in the state of wudu. Did you see the barakat and the qabuliyat, the acceptance that comes in this? Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal and to